Okay, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless tonight this study together. Father, we thank you for those that have come out tonight on this blustery, rainy evening. And Lord, I pray that somehow you give them a special blessing for having, Lord, endured the weather to be faithful in their attendance at the house of God. Lord, we ought to be here tonight. We've done what we should have done, but Lord, we know that this is discouraging weather to some, but we thank you for those who have done their duty to assemble themselves, not forsaking the assembling themselves in God's house. Bless tonight, I pray. Bless our Awana program, our boys and girls and workers over there, and each one that's congregated here. Bless these who are sorrowing. And Lord, for Linda and Hope and James, I believe his name. And God bless them tonight. And the relatives, some of them unsaved, God, I pray that you'd speak to them through this situation. And then, Lord, keep your hand on our church. Keep the devil out, I pray, and maybe be true to you and keep telling the old story of Jesus and his love. Give us another great day, this Lord's day. And then, Lord, bless now as we look into this important doctrine of separation. Open people's minds and hearts to this great scriptural and spiritual truth tonight. Help me as I preach and teach, Lord, and give me that sweet anointing of the and liberty of the Holy Spirit, I pray. And may Jesus be glorified and saints edified tonight. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're beginning a study tonight of the doctrine of separation. I'm glad that the Lord revealed this truth to me many years ago as a young boy. And you know, I think a lot of times, folks, that you wonder why some people see spiritual truth and other people don't. I believe it's because God reveals it to them. And I there's one truth that I know. And I know that God blesses a separate. He teaches separation, and he blesses us when we separate ourselves from unto. And I, as a boy, I heard those old preachers, and a lot of them didn't have any education. But they preached the word of God and fought sin with a stick. I mean, boy, they preached separation. And preach that if you know God, you ought to act like it and look like it and smell like it. And God won't bless you if you're not. If you won't come out among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Those old preachers believed that and preached it. God would bless you if you'd come out of the world. And I still believe those old preachers are right. I've never seen anything in this world to convince me they were wrong. And then I believe had a mom and dad who believed in separated living. They used to not let me go to dances, movies, things like that, smoke. And I couldn't play ball on Sunday, things like that. Go swimming and fishing, hunting on Sunday. And I thought it was pretty strict, but they didn't have much education, but they were captivated by the thought of God will bless a separated life. And then not only as far as standards on living, then I know my mother especially was against the National Council of Churches. And against the Revised Standard Version. That would have nothing to do with anything that connected with the National Council of Churches and these bad versions. And so I guess I didn't have a chance to be anything but a separated Baptist preacher coming out of a background like that. And I remember I'd already started preaching, and I had preached on Sunday night. God did bless, and some people saved there at my home church in Saudi. And I went to a movie down in Chattanooga, Tennessee on Monday. And I went with my uncle to Bakewell, Tennessee the next day. And there was a preacher there. He didn't know, I guess, unless the Holy Spirit whispered in his ear. And he was really chewing, standing there talking to myself and my uncle. He was chewing out these preachers to go to movies. And boy, the Holy Ghost just like an arrow shot in my heart for that. And here I'd preached on Sunday and God had blessed. And here I'd gone to a movie on Monday. And I didn't lose my salvation, but the Lord is getting the message through to me that there's some things and some Christian ought not do, and some places you ought not go. Turn in your Bible for some scripture, I think one of the greatest passages of scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 17. Now everything I'm going to say tonight is going to be introductory to next Wednesday night. I'm going to lay a groundwork tonight on separation for those four men. I won't get to those four men that you see on there till next Wednesday night. So everything I'm going to say tonight is introductory. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So folks, I'm going to say this later on. I'll just say it now and say it again later on. I mean, brother, the Word of God teaches separation. You can't mix light and darkness, and sin and holiness, and good and evil, God and Satan, Christ and Antichrist. See, there's a division. There's a separation. God said, let there be light, and the light and the darkness were separated. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or verse 15, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You say, preacher, I just don't agree with you on things. Well, that's your opinion, but I believe if you'd get close to God, you'd agree with me on a whole lot of things. The closer I get to God, the closer I am on spiritual things. And so the world is not going to agree with separation. But you let the world get on the altar, and the world get on fire for God, and you will see the world have a different attitude about sin. You see a carnal Christian become a sanctified Christian. Watch him change his attitude about worldliness and separation. Now, where did I stop? Therefore, you got me off on that rabbit track. Did I finish 16 there? I read 16. Well, let me read. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is, if you'll come out and be separate. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. So there's a double emphasis on separation there. Come out and separate. A double emphasis. And saith the Lord. Now the Lord says this. The preacher lastly didn't say that. I'm just repeating what the Lord said. The Lord says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch this, don't have anything to do with the unclean thing. And then what does God say he'll do? Huh? I will receive you. Is that what it says? And does that mean sort of that if you don't come out, he won't receive you? Somebody whispering out there, just bellowed out. But to me, the implication is, if you don't come out of the world and if you don't separate yourself, the Lord won't receive you. That's the implication of that, isn't it? And the direct teaching is, if you'll come out, I will receive. So, you can't go to the wrong places, run with the wrong crowd, and be received by God. Look at verse 18. And then God says, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So if you want God's blessings, you must be separated. Now, separation is a twofold thing. It's from unto. It's not only away from that which was bad, but folks, separation, you don't stop with just separation from that which is bad. You separate to that which is good. You separate from the bad to holiness. You separate unto godliness. You separate unto purity. You separate unto clean living. You separate unto the right kind of attitudes and good attitudes. So it's a separation from, away from, unto that which pleases God. Now, most people call you a legalist and a radical when you get on separation. But a preacher that'll, with compassion and with common sense, preach that you ought to live a separated life is the best friend you have if you're saved. Because he's wanting you to be blessed of God, see. And if you want to be spiritually successful and be blessed of God, you must be separated. Now go down to the bank or into a first-class professional operation. And the employees are dressed neat. You walk in the bank tomorrow, and the girls down there are dressed neat. And men, they've gotten rid of a lot of men in banks. The women's taken over the banking industry just about it. But if there's men there, they're dressed neat. You won't find a man with his hair down with that long. He won't be a woolly booger. They're dressed neat. And you, why don't they wear blue jeans? Why don't the ladies down at the bank come in with blue jeans and sweatshirts on tomorrow? Now, why don't they do that? The image that the bank puts forth has to be that of professional, clean, and a good image. And we try to get Christians to dress in such a way so they can be a good image for Christ and the church, and brother, they hit the ceiling. You start telling church members they ought to live right, dress right, and act right, and cut their hair right, and they, brother, I'll tell you, they get their dandruff up. You rub them the wrong way. They were going, if this kind of preaching rubbed you the wrong way, if you turn around going the right direction, I'll be rubbing the right way, see. But separation is found. You just do a Bible study on separation. You'll find separation from Genesis through the book of Revelation. Separation is taught. God has always wanted a holy people for his name. And you know, one day he's going to get him a holy people. And when God gets somebody holy, now he blesses them. God will bless you. You want to be blessed of God? There's one way you're going to be blessed of God. Come out of the world. Live a holy life. Live a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ, one that pleases him. And God will bless you. With that attitude, Lord, I want to please you with my life. Lord, I want to be separate. I don't want anything in my life that'll stand in my way. And it might be a good thing. I'm not saying, listen, separation a lot of times means you have to even separate yourself from that which might not be bad so you can enjoy the best and so you can enjoy God's blessing on your life. Now, I'm glad years ago the Lord showed me this doctrine, and I'm thankful for it. And it's, by the way, if you live a separated life, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble, too. Do you know that? It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble if you'll do right and go to the right places and act right. It'll keep you from having a brother, a shipwrecked life. So separation not only brings the blessing of God, brother, but it'll keep you out of a lot of tight spots in life. But let's look at some principles tonight. I want to lay some principles down for you. And then next week, I want to discuss those four men that you see on your outline there. But we must stand on principle. In anything in life, we need to be people of principle. Men and women, young people who operate not on excitement and not on just the flesh, the impulses of the flesh, but we need to operate on principle. And then we need to stand on principle and then make application of those principles to our daily lives. And that's a hard part. Sometimes it's easy to know what's right and what's wrong, and then to make application of that thing in life is hard. Now, one word of caution on principle and making application of our principles to our everyday living is this: we need to be consistent too. In our separated living, we need to use common sense and need to be consistent. The hardest thing in the world we'll try to do is be consistent. I mean, we might be strong in another area, and here we're lax in this area. We need to try to be consistent in all the areas of our life. We need to try it. It's almost impossible. We need to try to be consistent. And most Christians have to be told what to believe. Most Christians have to be told what is right and what is wrong. And a lot of times, babies have to be told that and have to be spoon-fed for a while till you get them to grow up, and then they can make their own decisions, and then hopefully you've conditioned them to make the right decisions. I don't want to just have to spoon-feed our people at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church all the time. I don't want, now if you come to me and ask me what's right and what's wrong, I'll try to help you to see what's right and what's wrong. But I just don't want to tell you what's right and what's wrong. You go out and do it, that won't do you any good. You need to operate on principle. That's okay. I'm here to help you anytime I can. But I want you to be able to make decisions on what's right and wrong according to scriptural principle. And I want you to read the Bible, see what it says and what it means, and then make your own decisions on what the Bible says. And that is Holy Ghost discernment. For you to read the Word and get some understanding of the Word and then apply it to everyday life is Holy Ghost discernment. And we need Holy Ghost discernment. Now, as I'm just going to discuss just a part of this tonight, this on the first three points on the bottom here is all I'm going to give you right here. I'll get to the four men next Wednesday night. But I'm going to give you an approach to separation tonight. By the way, this I picked this outline up out at Fundamental Baptist Fellowship in Kansas City a year and a half ago. So I'm applying a lot of this myself to this, but this outline certainly is not original with me. But CIA is approach to separation. The first is C, and you can write in there content. Just write the word content. By the way, this is something maybe you can use in the future yourself. And put the word content, C-O-N-T-E-N-T. And that is, what does the Bible say? That's the first approach to separated living, is what does the Bible say? And we have listed there, 1 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all God's word, all the Bible's God's word, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for control, correction, for instruction in righteousness. So this Bible that we have, and we say we believe from cover to cover, is a basis for what we believe. The Bible is our basis for rule for faith and order, and our basis for what we believe. That doesn't really matter what the preacher says, or any preacher says. It doesn't really matter what any school may teach. It doesn't really matter what the church doctrines are. And really, parents hate to say this, it doesn't matter what we as parents say. And on I could go. But it does, and by the way, it doesn't really matter what kind of experience somebody had either. Now, a lot of people are falling into the charismatic movement today not on scripture, but on experience. Oh, I had this wonderful feeling. Oh, you've got to get it. And then somebody, before they know it, they're trying to get them an experience that's not biblical. And so the basis for our convictions is the Word of God. For what we believe, for our doctrine, is the Word of God. The charismatics say, I was reading here a while back, and I've quoted it two or three times to you, we have something greater than the Word, somebody said. One charismatic leader said, we have experience. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. I'm not going to go on your experience. You don't go on mine. We both go on the Word of God. We go as far as the Word of God goes, and we stop. That's all you need. Or Roberts, brother, I'll tell you, he and all that bunch of charismatics, their experience has got them in a peck of trouble, didn't it? They're experience-oriented, not scriptural-oriented. Old Oral said, if all you have is the Word, you're dead in the water. Well, he had his experiences, and brother, he's dead in the water right now, isn't he? He's certainly dead in the water right now. So first of all, the first point in an understanding separation is, what does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? And folks, don't go any farther. Now there's some talking over here. Listen, young people, you need to understand this. If you don't, you're going to be shipwrecked in life. What does the Bible say? We need to read the Bible and see what the Bible says. And then the next point in this outline here, I, is interpretation. What does the Bible mean? What, find out what it says and then discern through the help of the Holy Spirit or through listening to preachers, teachers, discuss it with Christian friends and seeking out, reading good books and comparing Scripture with Scripture, running references, find out some way what does the Bible mean. Read to see what it says and then to see what it means. Turn over to 2 Peter 1:20. 2 Peter 1:20. Verse 21 says, holy men of old spake as were moved with the Holy Ghost. But verse 20, I want to bring this point out about interpretation. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now that has thrown me for a loop in the past, and it's still, I have to stop and think about that. But you know what that means? It means you're not to handle God's Word according to the way you want it to be handled. I'm not to interpret God's Word and put my ideas and my words. I am to decide and discern what God is saying and what His purpose is and what does it mean. It's not, I don't have the right to handle God's Word loosely. I've got to discern what God's saying and properly interpret what God's saying. It's not my right to give a private interpretation. I need to discern what God says here and what is the correct interpretation of the Word of God. Now, we may differ on interpretations of secondary things or minor subjects. But folks, we can't differ on interpretation of major things. Like the inspiration of Scripture, salvation by the grace of God, second coming of Jesus Christ, deity of Christ, and things like that. We can't differ on those major doctrines. We have to believe those cardinal doctrines. But we can differ on secondary subjects and on minor subjects. For instance, good people differ on this matter of divorce. Now, some people think that divorce is permitted in the Word of God, and some people that who are equally good don't think it's permitted in the Word of God. Now, you know my convictions on that. I personally just don't see where the Bible sanctions divorce and remarriage. And that's why I don't marry divorced people, why I don't encourage our young people to date divorced people. But the thing is, good people differ on that, see. And I won't fall out with people over this difference. I love divorced people, and they're certainly welcome at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and they can be used of God in spite of this unfortunate experience. So, see, what I'm saying is we can differ on minors, but not on the fundamental things. Then let's look at the third, C, I, and then A, and that is application. After we get the right interpretation, then we must apply it. And that's where you get in trouble when you start applying your interpretations of the Word of God. And folks, it's not enough to just have a general interpretation of the Word of God. To help people, you've got to apply the Word of God to their lives and to situations. And that's where the New Evangelicals and the Southern Baptists and the modernist, did I say new evangelicals? Yes, I did. See, they are strong on interpretation and weak on application. Now, you're a bunch of preachers coming out of California. They're strong on Bible teaching, but not on application to your everyday life and holy living. They're strong on chasing theological prepositions and propositions, but not making application to the of the Word of God to our lives. Not MacArthur, but the other one. What's his name? Swindoll, old brother Swindoll. He's great on interpretation and generalizations, but he chews the fundamentalist out for preaching the separated life. I heard him the other day laughing and joking about that. It's been a few months ago. So But look at Romans 14:5. Turn over to Romans 14:5. I'm talking about application here now. Romans 14:5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So the application, every man has to make his own application as he feels the Bible teaches and as the Holy Spirit leads him. Folks, God wrote the Bible in application form. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord just had a list of do's and don'ts? Well, the Bible is full of a lot of do's and don'ts, but the Bible doesn't cover every situation of my life in detail. But there's an application and a principle for me to apply to every situation of my life. The Scripture has a guide for me for every situation of my life, an application. And that's why we need to stay in the Word and let the Holy Spirit apply the Word to our hearts. And so God, the reason God made the Word of God in application form so it can fit any age, any culture, any circumstance, any climate, any environment, the Word of God is applicable. And only God could write a book like that. And so the Word of God is applicable to everybody's situation. Now, this may shock you, and you may think Preacher Lashley is compromising, which you know I'm not, really. But, you know, applications, folks. Now, listen to me. If you don't see this, it's going to hurt you a few years from now. Let me say this first before I was going to say something. I'm getting ahead of myself. But applications, scriptural applications, now I didn't say doctrine now. There's a big difference. But applications can be different in different times and situations. Now, you better learn that that's common sense. That's common. That's what they call horse sense. Now, sin is sin in any age. Adultery, homosexuality, murder, lying, stealing, all of that, false worshiping false gods. Clear sin is sin in any age. But applications can be different according to the circumstances. I don't believe in situation ethics, but I believe in situation applications. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. I don't have time to read all. I was going to start at verse 8. Let's look at verse 8. But meat. Now, they were to eat meat offered to idols or not. There's nothing. There's no such thing as an idol. What if it's offered to idol? There's no such thing. It wouldn't hurt anybody to eat that meat. But it would hurt somebody's conscience, You see what the point is? Now, let's look down at verse 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You see, Paul was applying the Word of God to his situation. And some things are maybe not wrong in themselves, but they're wrong if I do them according to the circumstance that I'm in. When I was a boy, very few Christian ladies wore makeup. Almost all of the real spiritual ladies did not wear makeup. And years ago, it was connected with harlots, makeup. And there's been a complete flip-flop on people's attitude toward makeup day in most situations. And today, most people's philosophy is every barn looks better with a little paint on it today. My wife can tell you, for the first 60 or 70 years of her life, she didn't wear any makeup. Now, really, I don't believe she was wearing it when she first came, but she didn't for a long time in her life, I know that. And when I was a boy, you'd go to church and very few have makeup on. And it's different today. So you see what it would, in that day, if you'd come in and you'd had a lot of makeup all over you, you would have been looked down upon, your testimony would have been ruined. But today it's not. So things have changed. Situations have changed. The Bible never did say it's wrong to wear makeup. See, but near situations, if you'd wear it back then, you'd hurt your testimony. Now, just like ties. I'm told in there's certain parts of Africa where it's evil to wear a tie. Well, I sort of think in America it's evil to wear a tie too. I'd like to get rid of those. I wish it'd be a federal law. You don't have to wear crazy ties. Isn't that the most foolish thing you ever seen in your life? A tie, huh? Ain't that stupid? Say amen right there, Betty. I mean, isn't that crazy? It's unnecessary. It serves no good purpose. But it's not a sin here for me to wear this tie tonight. I wish it was. I'd be glad to get rid of it. But it's sort of the expected thing to do for a preacher to put. But if I'd go to Africa in certain areas, I would be looked down upon by good Christians to wear a tie. Now, you've got to make application of scriptural principle. And if wearing a tie would make my brother to offend, and if I'd offend him in Africa, I'd be glad not to wear. In fact, if it offends anybody, I'd be glad not wear them around here. But now earrings used to be considered worldly. You know that. I wouldn't let Ellen wear earrings till what? Just very few years ago, I let her. I mean, the pierced ears. And in fact, earrings used to be considered, you know, not too spiritual. And so, you see what I mean? Applications can vary according to situations. Now, I won't separate myself from a person over applications. But I will separate myself from a person who is way off on essential doctrines. Turn over to Romans, the 16th chapter. Romans 16. Romans 16, verses 17. Romans 16, verse 17. When I said I will separate myself over doctrine from people who believe false doctrine, that's what the Bible says to do. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary, notice, to the doctrine which ye have learned. What does God's word say? What did Paul tell the church at Rome to do? Avoid them. Stay away from those who have false doctrine. Now, you can read verse 18. It's all, it's same application there. Now, just like, for instance, pants. You know the position of your pastor on pants. I think because of the anatomy of a woman's body and tight pants, the temptation of man, I think she's a better testimony in a dress. And you know how we don't have a television set at our house because I think we're better off more than spiritual, throw it out the back door. But you're crazy if you think I'm going to split this church over women ought to wear pants or not. Or whether, I tell you, some preachers split their church over things, split their church over television. And one fellow came to me one time over here, I remember getting standing right over, he wanted me to preach against Masons. Boy, he jumped all over me because I wouldn't preach against Masons. And then I found out he had preached against Masons in his church and they run him off. Now that jaybird won't get me run off. And so I will split this church over basic fundamental doctrine if I had to, over basic fundamental doctrine, but not over just some preference. And God's word says if somebody has a contrary doctrine, to avoid them. And so I want to get us grounded at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in sound doctrine and the word of God, keep you out of Mormonism, keep you out of the Jehovah's Witnesses, keep it. By the way, if you don't get grounded in the Word of God, you'll get into the charismatic movement if you're not careful. If you don't know what the Bible teaches about tongues or the filling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they'll say, brother, have you got it? Have you had the experience? And they, before you know it, you'll think that they've got something you don't have, and it'll be unscriptural, and you will be trying to get you an unscriptural experience. I'm not afraid of anything in the Word of God. You don't have to fear anything that's found in God's Word. But you don't need an unbiblical experience. Remember that. And if you're grounded in the Word of God, then that'll keep you out, I believe, out of the Southern Baptist Convention. But there are many good Southern Baptists. But the reason that I could not, that I had to come out of the Southern Baptist Convention, because the Lord showed me it was wrong to support liberalism. And right here, it says, if any man has a contrary doctrine, avoid them. Don't cooperate with them. Don't support them. But avoid them. Come out from among them and be you separate. So if you get grounded in the Word and you're guided by the Word and not emotion and experience of things like that, then, brother, the devil won't throw you a curveball. So I don't want you to do anything or believe anything just because I say so. Now, you ought to consider what I say and see if it lines up with the Word of God. But I want you to establish your doctrines and your preferences and applications. I want them to be based on the Word of God. And I won't separate over applications and preferences, but I will over doctrine and interpretation. And that's why I said Sunday night that I wouldn't participate in their big conference at Clone Heights Baptist, because I don't cooperate with those who support liberals. And I won't have anybody in this pulpit who supports liberalism, because I'd be unbiblical and unscriptural if I did. I'd be contrary to what, if anybody hath not the doctrine of Christ, don't bid him Godspeed. If they support doctrines that's contrary to the Word of God with their money, then I'm not going to have them to preach in this pulpit. And there's a revival going on in Bristol right now. There's a veteran up there holding revivals going around the different schools. And I was told today by a preacher, he's Pentecostal holiness. And a lot of independent Baptists and Southern Baptists are in with all the charismatics. See, that's confusion, folks. That's confusion. It'll be the Baptists are going to come out with doctrinal confusion over that. So we should not violate the Word of God. That's separation. We will not violate the Word of God. So now I've given you my introduction to my message next Wednesday night. So come out, and wouldn't you just love to know what those four men are? Come out next Wednesday night, and I'll tell you.